able to visit my 75-year-old aunt on my mom's side. They're all Americans. This aunt has since died a couple years ago at 96. But what I was able to do was hear some of the family stories, some of the family history that often gets lost. My mom's grandma was a little girl in the midst of the Civil War in the USA. They ran a plantation in Virginia and owned slaves. These people loved God, and so did the slaves that worked for them. They treated the workers kindly, but were probably an exception to the rule. But no matter how kind they may have been, they were profiting over other people's lives. Eventually, when the North was winning the war, they came into the family's home and did things like chop up the piano, stole their pony, and freed the slaves. These former slaves really didn't want to leave, but then again, they didn't have anywhere to go. They were put in a horrible situation for decades of being used and taken advantage of. None of us are physical slaves today, but there's a war for our spiritual allegiance. As a t-shirt worn by one of the Jesus people in the 1970s that read on the front side, "Fool for Christ," and then on the back side, ask the question, "Whose fool are you?" Let's pray. Jesus, we want to be followers of yours in every aspect of our lives. Pour your love and grace into us so we can respond in the right way to those around us. Let us be known as people who are faithful to you in our words, deeds, and actions. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today, if you're new with us, the 1 month I preached in the New Testament, I've been preaching in the book of 1 Peter. The other month I've been preaching in the book of Daniel. Today's text is 1 Peter 2, 18 and 25. Ernie's got it up already. I'm going to read it to you. Slaves, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only those who are good and gentle, but also those who are dishonest. For it is a commendable thing if, being aware of God, a person endures pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you're beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do good and suffer for it, this is a commendable thing before God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you as an example, so that you should follow his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But he entrusted himself to the one who judged justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that having died to sin, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you've been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you've returned to the shepherd, the guardian of your souls. Peter continues his letter to the church in Asia Minor by addressing how the church is to respond to some specific issues. Last week, we looked at how the church was to respond to those who are in authority over them. God is sovereign and is in ultimate control of the universe. At times, it's hard for us to understand certain things that happen in our lives or in our world. And so, especially in these times, we position ourselves to trust God when things don't make sense. Today's passage deals with how slaves are to act toward their masters. With the change of laws and justice prevailing, we no longer have physical slavery in North America. But in Romans 6:22, Paul says, "But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life." What does it really mean to be a slave of Christ? In 1 Peter chapter 2, 18 to 20, it affirms that we'll endure hardship as followers of Christ. Peter begins in verse 18 by addressing those who are physical slaves and admonishes them to live holy lives in the situation they find themselves in. It says, "Slaves, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only those who are good and gentle, but those who are dishonest." Understandably, there would be a great desire for these in chains to find physical freedom. The injustice of such things should make our blood boil. And yet Peter's encouraging these Christians to obey their master and not to cause trouble. Although the New Testament does not speak directly against slavery, the Bible emphasizes that all people are equal in Christ. All are made in the image of God. And eventually, Christians like the Quakers in North America, Wilberforce in England, were able to help bring slavery to an end through the government. But what if the slave owner's cruel? In the second part of verse 18, it says, to respect and obey them, whether they're kind or cruel. This seems hard to swallow. Why show respect to someone who's unreasonable or even cruel? In the Roman world, about one-third of the citizens were slaves. The slavery referred to in this passage was completely different to the form of slavery that went on in the New World. Only some of the slaves were manual laborers. Others were doctors, teachers, writers, accountants, and other highly held positions. Often slaves had as little or as much influence and power as their master did. Slavery was not a permanent position, but a temporary position that worked toward freedom. Many were released by the time they were 30. As a result, if a slave obeyed his master, they would be freed sooner. Peter encouraged these in slavery to influence those around them and the household they served by doing their jobs well. Verse 19, for it's a commendable thing if by being aware of God, a person endures pain while suffering unjustly. As these slaves and servants were aware that God was with them, they were to endure hardship even when unjust punishment was handed out. It is difficult when things are not done fairly. Have you ever heard your children say, "That's not fair"? Have you ever said, "That's not fair"? These slaves that are being pushed to the edge and suffering were to trust that God was still in control no matter how great the difficulty. When everything possibly seems to be going against us, and we seem powerless, can we trust God to work things out? If they were going to experience suffering because of doing good, God would be honored through their lives. Verse 20, if you're enduring when you're beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do good and suffer for it, this is a commendable thing before God. Have you ever done something wrong? Going faster than the posted speed limit, cheating on a test, or being mouthy to the person over you, and you experience the fallout of such actions? It's called cause and effect. If you jump from a three-story building, it's going to hurt to some degree when you finally hit the ground. It's called gravity. Sometimes we experience punishment because we deserve it. This isn't God's fault or the person who's handing out the consequences. To be punished because one rebelled would in the end honor no one. There are times that we will be misrepresented or misunderstood by others, even though we're trying to do the right thing, the godly thing. Don't let it bend you out of shape. God knows your heart intentions and your desire to please Him. One day, all that's in the dark will come to light. Parnell Bailey visited an orange grove where an irrigation pump broke down. It was a really hot, hot part of the season, and some of the trees were getting to die because of lack of water. The man giving the tour then took Bailey to his own orchard where the irrigation was used sparingly. These trees could go out without rain for 2 weeks, he said. You see, when they were young, I frequently kept water from them. This hardship caused them to send their roots deeper into the soil, searching for moisture. Now mine are the deepest rooted trees in the area. While others are being scorched by the sun, these finding moisture at a greater depth. Somehow, even in difficulty, God can produce good fruit in our lives. Difficulty makes our roots, or is an opportunity to go down deeper. 1 Peter 2:21 to 15, we're encouraged because Christ exemplifies how we respond in suffering. Verse 21, Peter affirms that slaves have a calling on their lives as a result of their identification with Jesus, and part of that end product would be them encountering suffering. It says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps." Did you realize to be a Jesus follower meant that it was a given that you would suffer? Later on in 1 Peter 4:12, it says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fire ordeal you are going through as if something strange were happening to you." But you know what? We're surprised every time. Somehow the Holy Spirit residing in us, we feel like everyone and everything should just take it easier on us. But these difficulties and hardships, this suffering can produce things in us that can have eternal benefits. James 1, 2, and 3 says, "When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a great chance to grow." It is in this pressure, this testing, that the fruit of the Spirit should become alive and evident, mentioned in our lives in Galatians 5. Do we exhibit patience, self-control, peace, gentleness? All Christians everywhere should resolve that suffering will be part of this life in Christ. The bigger question becomes, how are you going to respond and handle it? Jesus suffered evil for the good that he did. We shouldn't expect anything different. 1 Peter 2, 22-23, it says that Jesus committed no sin, and yet no deceit was found in his mouth. He was abused but did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but entrusted himself to the one who judges justly, meaning the Heavenly Father. Could you imagine someone calling you down, calling you names, being unkind to you, and you don't respond back to them in the same way? They'll probably think that you're deaf. We do not want to measure out stone for stone, lie for lie, hurt for hurt. This is not God's way. We are people of peace who follow the Prince of Peace. The suffering of Christ was a general pattern which his followers were to walk after. The Message translates it like this: "He suffered everything that came his way so you would know that it could be done and also know how to do it step by step. To do what is right in our broken, sin-filled world will cost you something dearly." Why did Jesus hang on a cross when he did nothing wrong? Verse 24 answers this question by saying, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that having died to sin, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Jesus hung on the cross to free us from the effects of sin or consequences thereof, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. The passage ends in verse 25 saying, "For you were going astray like sheep, but now you've returned to the shepherd, the guardian of your souls." They were going astray like sheep, but now they've come back to the shepherd. In these verses we just looked at, Jesus didn't defend himself in the midst of his suffering. Rather, he suffered on behalf of those who could not defend themselves, people like you and people like me. The Master asks us to do likewise. We're to live as Christians in ways that will promote order and peace. Romans 12, 18 and 21 says, "If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it's written, 'It's mine to avenge. I'll repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We spend far too much time insulating and protecting ourselves from anything that could deflate, interrupt, or inconvenience our lifestyles. We need to allow ourselves to be impacted by the suffering and hardship of others, both right beside us and around the world. Our fight is not to defend our own cause and self-interest. Let God do that. Our job is to defend those who cannot protect themselves. If you suffer for doing good, Jesus will be honored. We'll be acting Jesus-like, Christ-like. Someone asked C.S. Lewis, "Why do the righteous suffer?" He replied, "Why not? They're the only ones who can take it." The Nicene Creed, an important church meeting in the 4th century A.D., of the 318 delegates attending, fewer than 12 had not lost an eye, a hand, or did not limp on a leg lamed by torture for their Christian faith. To be like Christ means we will have opportunity to suffer in this life on behalf of others. We're not slaves until we're 30 years old, like happened in Peter's day. But how do we respond to our employer, our teacher, the authority figure? Are we faithful to the tasks that are given us? Do we do things all the while complaining? Or have we had enough and we're going to blow up and tell everybody where to go and to quit? Surprisingly, most of us believe it's everyone else who has the problems. From our boss to the instructor, even our parents. And maybe they all do have some problems, but so do we. Ephesians 6:12 says, "People are not our enemies, but it's against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world." We might be wise to redirect our warfare in the spiritual world through prayer, generosity, kindness, goodness. We're not in this alone. God knows right where we are and the difficulties that we're facing. The paraphrase verse again from the message. He suffered everything that came his way so you would know that it could be done and also know how to do it step by step. He wants to develop character in our lives, and often this is going to come by being faithful where we are and honoring those over us. We could be looking for the end goal of more money, a higher position, completing our education. And Jesus is concerned about the heart attitude, our softness, our willingness to forgive those that have wronged us. It is a process that he cares about. The end result will take care of itself. The day in, day out of responding like Christ, even though it's challenging, even though it's beyond us, even though we're in over our heads. We invite God into our lives to fill us with the Holy Spirit and to act like Jesus as light in the darkness. We honor God even in the midst of suffering when we respond with grace and kindness, especially when it's not deserved. When we defer retaliating, it can diffuse the situation. Sometimes it's like the person is fighting by themselves because we don't throw the painful dart back at them. To identify with Jesus is to identify with suffering in this life with the goal of revealing both the humility and the mercy of Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, we come and pray, change us on the inside so we can be different on the outside. To love others means that we're going to allow ourselves to experience pain on their behalf. Give us your grace and comfort in the midst of our suffering. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I was lost, I was in chains. The world had a hold of me. My heart was a stone, I was covered in shame. When he came for me, I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me. It was a fire deep in my soul. I'll never be the same. I stepped out of the dark and into the light. When he called my name, I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me. He holds the stars and he holds my heart with healing hands that bear the scars. The rugged cross where he died for me, my only hope, my everything. Jesus, he loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me. He is for me. He is for me.
I have a couple of announcements, benediction, one more song, then you'll be dismissed. If you want prayer today, there'll be somebody in the back corner that will pray with you. Youth this week is on Saturday. It's at the Bon Accord School gym. Bring water with you. Your parents will drop you off from that site and pick you up. Next Sunday is what?
Potluck.
Soup and pie Sunday. So let me encourage you, you haven't signed up, to sign up at the Welcome Center what you're going to bring. Following that, for those who want to stay, it's going to be the annual meeting. I say the best part of the annual meeting is right at the start, we give space for people to boast in God. In this last year, to be able to express something that God has done on your behalf or within the church community or wider than that. Because you know what? God is ever changing. If we're the same we were a year ago, we're in trouble. He wants to be engaging us daily, weekly, monthly. And so it's fantastic hearing stories of God's movement in our lives and the people's lives around us. Have you ever been at school and said something you shouldn't? Or you're a parent and said something to your child? Or you're at work and you said something to the boss? How do you feel after that? Usually a little uncomfortable. We wish we could rewind the tape. Put yourself on the other side of that. What if somebody said something to you at school? What if your child said something to you they shouldn't have? What if your boss said something to you that shouldn't have? In the same way that we want to be forgiven for the things that we've said, we want to find a way to forgive people that at times have not said the right thing at the right time. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that it's the hope of Christ within us that makes all the difference in the world in our relationships and how we do life. Amen.
Why me, Lord, what I've ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you and the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I wasted it so. Help me, Jesus, I know what I am. But now that I know that I've needed you so, help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Try me, Lord, if you think there's a way I can try to repay all that I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus, I wasted it, so help me, Jesus, I know what I am. But now that I know that I've needed you so, help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Lord, help me, Jesus, I wasted it, so help me, Jesus, I know what I am. And now that I know that I needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Jesus, my soul's in your hand.
Have a good week, everybody.